So, passing the desiccated corpse without a glance, Mordred scarpered nimbly through the trapdoor and down the stairs and into a corridor below. This passage smelled strongly of alkali and seemed to have been cut out of the desert bedrock. All of Walter's knowledge, at least 1,500 years of it, bellowed in his brain. The dark man's back trail eventually led to an elevator shaft. When a bristly claw pressed on the up button produced nothing but a tired humming from far above and a smell like frying shoe leather from behind the control panel, Mordred climbed the car's inner wall, pushed up the maintenance hatch with a slender leg, and squeezed through. That he had to squeeze did not surprise him. He was bigger now. He climbed the cable. Itsy-bitsy spider went up the water spout. Until he came to the door where, his senses told him, Walter had entered the elevator and then sent it on its last ride. 20 minutes later, and still jazzing on all that wonderful blood, gallons of the stuff it had seemed, he came to a place where Walter's trail divided. This might have posed him, child that he still very much was, but here the scent and the sense of the others joined Walter's track, and Mordred went that way, now following Roland and his quartet rather than the magician's back trail. Walter must have followed them for a while and then turned around to find Mordred. To find his fate. 20 minutes later, the little fellow came to a door marked with no word but a sigil he could read well enough. Thunderclap. The question was whether to open it now or to wait. Childish eagerness clamored for the former, growing prudence for the latter. He had been well fed and had no need of more nourishment, especially if he changed back to his Hume self for a while. Also, Roland and his friends might still be on the far side of this door. Suppose they were, and drew their weapons at the sight of him. They were infernally fast, and he could be killed by gunfire.